Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Welcome, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper, here with my co-host, Kirsten Milliken. Kirsten, how are you?
I'm doing just terrific tonight. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing really good. I'm doing spectacular. We got a spectacular show tonight, which was a brainchild of yours, I might add. It was a brilliant idea, the notion of kind of talking about how ADHD manifests in everyday life. That's not necessarily what you would get from the clinical book. So I'm really excited, and Gina Pera is going to be our guest in our virtual studio tonight, and I couldn't think of a better guest for her, so I'm pretty excited.
I am absolutely excited. I've been looking forward to this for quite a long time.
And we actually we had several of our listeners actually send us audio recordings of some of their experiences, which there's a couple of them I think are real exciting. I can't wait to share some of that stuff. So real quick, this is Attention Talk Radio. Today is Wednesday, November the 28th in the year 2012 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Real quick on some announcements. For everybody out there, if you haven't tuned in to Attention Talk Video, we encourage you to do so. We launched it a couple months ago, and it's a talk show on the Internet. We had some bugs that we've been working through technology-wise, and we've been asking for your patience, but we're real excited. We've got a whole bunch. Basically, we got 15 shows that have been recorded and are ready to be released. And on Monday, we got some real exciting ones. So if you like Attention Talk Radio, or if you just want a visual side, go to attentiontalkvideo.com and check that stuff out. And Kirsten, you're heading up our project on Attention Talk News, right?
Well, I hope so. If I'm not, then we're in trouble. So. Heading it up, and we are moving forward with some fun projects and trying to get some people on board to be guest writers for us, getting some video content, including, of course, Attention Talk Video on there once in a while.
Yep.
And some interesting information for people with ADHD, whether it's, you know, looking at another site to get some information, or the brain teaser, which is always one of my favorite, to try and, you know, find those things so that they're interesting and
yep.
make
yep.
people pay attention to things different ways. So lots of different information. And, of course, if anybody has feedback or wants to contribute, we are looking for people who have something to say or want to get some information out there to our audience. So you're yep. welcome to send us that information at attention@attentiontalkradio.com.
Absolutely, and it's really kind of exciting. We're kind of growing that stuff, and I finally put the logo up on the Facebook page the other day, but all this stuff is, we're going to be migrating in one direction, we hope, to Attention Talk Network, so all this will fall into the brand. So you have Attention Talk Radio, Attention Talk News, and Attention Talk Video, all part of the Attention Talk Network. That's going to take us a while to kind of migrate everything there. We're hopeful to pull a website so you can actually access all the stuff at one place. It's a little piecemeal right now, but we're real excited about it. And most importantly, we're excited about the fans of the show, because you guys have made this possible just through the growth of Attention Talk Radio and some feedback we got. So with that, Kirsten, we got to get into the meat of the show, because we got more material to cover than I think we got time to do it. And I tell you what, can you introduce our guest tonight?
If you would let me, that'd be great.
Go ahead.
I'm excited about this. So Gina Pera is a lecturer, author, and prize-winning print journalist who's devoted the last 10 years to researching and writing about adult ADHD. She's the author of Is It You, Me, or Adult ADD? Stopping the Roller Coaster When Someone You Love Has Attention Deficit Disorder. The book has actually gotten several awards. And it's a great guide not only to understanding adult ADHD, but also some of that emotional baggage that's associated with the diagnosis as an adult in particular, and some of the challenges that it can present in our relationships. And, you know, this show, as you said, was an idea that I had, and then you said, well, who do you think we could get as a guest? And I said, Gina Pera. And ironically, right after that, a prior client of mine and I got back in contact, and he said, you know, I just read Gina Pera's book, and oh my God, like, I thought I understood my ADHD, but now I really am understanding it. He was in a place where he was ready to pay attention, and he's just gone on about Gina's book. So it's really interesting timing that all that came together at the same time, and I do hope he's listening tonight. So with that, Gina, thank you from him, and
hi,
welcome
Kristen.
To the show from me.
Hi, Kristen and Jeff. Nice to be with you again. And hey, buddy, whoever you are out there, I'm glad you found the book helpful. You know, it's funny. People think, oh, well, Gina writes about relationships. I'm really not a relationships expert. That's just funny, you know, to think that I'm a relationships expert. But I do know about adult ADHD. I do know about how it can affect relationships. And it's funny that, you know, my biggest fan base, beside the partners of adults with ADHD, right after that is 50-something-year-old men.
Yes.
And that is because these men have tried everything for most of their lives. They've tried a few relationships, maybe different jobs, lots of therapy. If they're in Northern California and they're in my local group, you know, they've tried sweat lodges, energetic healers, gurus, you know, everything. And then they finally ready to go, maybe there's something to this ADD thing.
Well, I want to brag on you a little bit, Gina. The cool thing about you, we by the way, everybody, Gina's a frequent flyer. This is her third visit on the show, and we hope to have a little bit more. But what I like about Gina is you have the mental health world, that the clinical side, and then you have we have people on that actually have ADD and stuff. And Gina does not have ADD herself, but she's very involved in the community, and she's very involved in Northern California in support groups. She's really, really tapped in. She's an exceptionally good writer, and she's just in a unique position with some of the relationships to get really good information. She's very detail-oriented, and I thank God she corrects me on many mistakes all over the place.
Oh, no.
No, they're good. It's little things. Like, I think I put some quotes on Facebook, and you got the wrong person, which is very much appreciated. But the cool part about it is I idolize her for that, because it needs to be kind of corrected, and she's not bashful about doing it. And the cool part about her book is she's done the research, and she knows what's going on, but she breaks it down in everyday life that we can kind of talk about. And to brag on her, she and I had done two shows on the impact of ADHD on sex and intimacy, and we did a sequel to it. And quite frankly, I did a lot of research for a period of time trying to find somebody to do that, and she's the only one who really had it all together that I think could represent it, and she did a spectacular job. And that's why I think you're just ideal for tonight's show, is because she deals with it. She's got some support groups. She's been tapped into it. She's very involved with a lot of people, and she's a real good advocate. So, everybody, if you haven't bought Gina's book, you need to buy it, because it's a really good read. And Gina, on behalf of myself and the ADHD community, thanks. You're a great asset for everybody.
Well, thanks. You know, I kind of consider myself a watchdog. You know, my journalistic background is very focused on wanting people to get accurate information, because in my advocacy, you know, hearing people's stories firsthand, I see where bad information can get you. It can get you divorced. It can get you that one more speeding ticket that means you lose your license, that you can lose a job. So I'm very connected to outcome here, and I get pretty militant when people are just wanting to sell people with ADHD the wrong information, because I know what it can mean in their lives. So sorry if I'm a little too much of a watchdog sometimes.
No.
Let's get on with it. Enough about me. Let's get on with this interesting topic, because I love talking about this.
Absolutely.
So, I want to hear what y'all have to say.
So Kirsten came to me originally, and she said, you know, I don't think, and she brought this up. It was a great idea. She said, I don't think really people, they come and they come to her, myself and stuff, and working with some problems, and they think of ADHD in the traditional way, you know, school and work and stuff like that, and they really don't realize how it impacts so much of their lives kind of across the board. And tonight's show was really intended to dedicate to say, hey, it shows up here and it shows up here and it shows up here. And we have some people who have sent some audios that will discuss how it shows up in their life, and they're one of them that I think is really, really cool. And in preparing for the show, Gina, you sent me a couple notes on the four S's, and a couple of them have me intrigued. So you want to kind of talk about that stuff a little bit, and we'll just kind of go from there?
Yeah, well, I know you have other things you want to talk about, but I was trying to encapsulate them into, you know, a handy little grouping. And so I thought of the four S's, and the first one is singing, believe it or not, because I've been hearing a few stories about professional singers and their ADHD. And another one is sports, because Jeff and Kirsten, I think you were at the banquet, at the Chad banquet, and you saw my friend Andres Torres, who is a professional baseball player. So there's sports. Also, there's spirituality, which is a really little discussed topic vis-a-vis ADHD, and sleep, which is talked about more often, but there's still a lot of interesting angles to it. So those are four I'm kind of keyed in on tonight, but there are so many more.
Well, lay the singing thing on me. I'm anxious to hear about this one.
Well, you know, this came up. I was talking to my friend, a physician friend. His name is Orrin Mason. I think maybe you've had him on the show, or we're interviewing him. But he's a doctor. He's a psychiatrist in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And we were talking about various quirky ways in which medication can help or else hinder someone, and the process of fine-tuning, like maybe you take this medication on the day that you're practicing and this medication on the day of performance or something, whether it's sports or whatever. But he mentioned a young singer, a soloist, I think it was in a school singing club, and she sang beautifully in performance, but in practice she was always off key. And that was a problem because she was working back and forth with a group, you know, and she was off key, so that was very distracting. But it turned out her ADHD meant that when she was practicing, she wasn't that stimulated, right? When she's stimulating and then there's the crowd and everything, you know, everything was on key. But in practice, And so the dopamine, you could say, wasn't flowing to give her the signals that would help her pay attention, even to pay attention to her own voice.
Wow.
So she wasn't hearing herself when she was off key.
Wow. Kirsten.
I know. Pretty Kirsten. Interesting, huh?
Yeah. Kirsten, what are your thoughts on that?
You know, I've been focused so much lately on really paying attention to the things that are fun and interesting and release the dopamine for us. And it can be as subtle as that. She's singing in both situations, and you'd think just her love of singing would get her there. But it takes that, having that audience in front of her and knowing that, you know, this was her moment that she was going to get recognized, to really bring it up a notch for her. So it's amazing the subtleties and how you really have to pay attention to what it is that brings that to you.
And I have to, we did a show over the summer with Dr. David Now on what does dopamine feel like, which is kind of a fascinating show. But during, I think what I love about this is the idea is here, where does ADHD show up that you're not expected? And what I'm hearing, it shows up in rehearsal. It's not as interesting. You don't have that rush. It's a little bit more challenging, yet when she gets on stage, it does well. And I love this because I had never heard anything like this, but it's a great example of how it can manifest in your world that most people don't necessarily think of.
Right. And, you know, here's another thing about ADHD. It's sneaky, right? Okay, so that was true for her. It could be the opposite for another singer. It depends on how it applies to you. So I asked a friend of mine who's a professional opera singer, and who was diagnosed later in life. Mm-hmm. And I said, so what difference has ADHD made in you, you know, the diagnosis and also the treatment? And she said, well, before she used to spend agonizing amounts of time in the memorization.
Because,
you know, she's often memorizing in all these different languages, and they don't, you know, mean anything to her necessarily. So that's even makes it even harder to memorize. And she doesn't think that the medications made a difference so much in her performance because she never really had trouble performing. But, well, she thinks it's made it better, actually, in some ways, which is pertinent because she actually thought it was going to make her lose her spark, you know, on the stage. And it didn't. What it did, she said, was it kept her from being distracted by the tag in her dress, by the twit in the front row who kept coughing, you know, by the performance hall that's too hot. And it also helped her practice because she could memorize a lot more easily and wait her turn during rehearsals, you know, not be so impatient while she's waiting for her part to come in. So,
well, real quickly, you said something really quickly. You said, not to get, You said tag in her dress, and I want to pause
here.
Yeah,
you know, how people with ADHD often have that sensory thing, you know, and
yeah,
it could be like that's the only thing she's aware of is this tag in her dress.
I don't think people – there's some people out there are very sensory. Some people aren't, but for many of you out there, ADHD, they're so sensory that a tag on the back of your shirt is rubbing against you, and it's a very much a distraction because you're very sensitive to that tactile stuff, and many you have to kind of cut that stuff out, and ADHD can manifest itself sometimes in people just clothing on these little things that are distracting to them that inhibit their ability to kind of focus on some other things, which, great job, Gene. I just want to kind of point that out. I don't think people necessarily realize for some of you that's how it can manifest.
Yes, that sensory defensiveness, they call it. But, you know, when she takes medication, she's not aware of it. So it's not so much that your skin can be that sensitive. It's that you can't filter it out. All of us feel things, but some of us can tune it out, put it into the background.
Absolutely. Another one of your S's is sports, right?
Yes. Yes, and I have two examples of that. One is that this 16-year-old guy named Ben wrote to me about 10 years ago, and he says, Gina, I'm pissed off. I've had ADHD all my life, and I just now learned, and I want to volunteer to help, you know, spread the word so this doesn't happen to other people. So Ben was a very good baseball player.
Uh-huh.
But he got marginalized as a dumb jock at school because he wasn't so good in school, but he was good in baseball. So it was like, okay, well, that's what he's got, baseball. But then he was diagnosed, and he's like, Gina, I wasn't dumb. You know, I was a good student. I just had ADHD, and nobody knew. And he says, yes, I love baseball, but I might not have chosen to make it my future if I'd known I could do other things. So that's kind of interesting, you know, that talk about some athletes with ADHD, that it makes them so, you know, that they chose that sport because they're just so good at it. But sometimes it's a default position for some of these players. And some of them were learning.
Like, Gina, it sounded like he was telling you, too, I did learn a lot in school. Maybe they just didn't recognize it because, again, with ADHD, it's a problem of being able to access the information because our filing system isn't always the best. Whereas when he was involved in that more active, you know, sports, he could show outwardly to everybody what his skills were, what he knew. So, you know, we all want to be recognized.
That might be what somebody says, but, you know, I mean, some people might. But he really was pissed off that he had been marginalized as a jock, that's all he could do.
Interesting. Well,
because he didn't do well in school.
I would like to share this. We did a show back in May of this year, 2012, with Paul Hamrus and Richard Ginsburg on it was the impact of sports and sports culture and exercise. And one of the things that I learned from that show is they were discussing is that in team sports in particular, as I say, the level of professionalism is being pushed down. I mean, there's a high school here locally that's flying other states playing, and the complexity of what's going on is being pushed down. And they talked about in team sports, particularly of a learning disability, that some of the complexities of the playing schemes that you have are, if you have a learning disability, it's difficult, and if you have ADHD, it can really impact yourself on team sports.
Right, and that brings us to our friend Andres Torres.
Absolutely. You want to speak to that real quickly?
Yeah. Well, I met Andres when the director, Chusey Jardim, was shooting this documentary. And Andres is from Puerto Rico. And, you know, if exercise could cure ADHD, Andres would have been cured a long time ago because nobody works out harder or did more track or anything than Andres. He is the hardest working man in baseball business. But 10 years he languished in the minors. His ADHD was undiagnosed. When you are, like you say, when you're missing these complex calls, and when you, Andres said, Gina, I change my batting stance all the time. And he says, you can't do that. He says, I will be right there, and then I'll boom, change it at the last second. And, you know, this makes for sometimes exciting surprises, but sometimes just real unpredictable, uneven, and unreliable performance. And so that's where he said it really hurt him.
And as a side, Andreas ended up coming out of the minors, went into the majors, and kind of was a spiritual leader of the, was it the 2010
Giants, our hometown team. Yes, and but he got out of the minors. Some coach finally observed, you know, you might have ADHD. And Audrey said, oh, yeah, thank you very much. And then, you know, just kind of didn't do anything with it for a couple of years. And then he finally did, started getting treatment. Next thing he knows, he's signing with the Giants, then the World Series. And
yeah, the World Series. And off he goes.
Most inspirational player is
absolutely.
What he was.
And they did a film that's going to be released relatively soon, if I'm not mistaken. Like maybe after the
first. I'm not sure what the status is, but anyone who's interested, you can go to the website. It's his nickname is Yungo. That's Y-U-N-G-O, and then Gigante. That's Spanish for giant. So that's G-I-G-A-N-T-E. So Yungo Gigante.
Absolutely.
.com.
So we talked about singing, how it shows up. We've talked about sports. I want to talk about spirituality in a second, but you know we need to run to a break real quick.
Yeah,
For those that want to contact you, or basically you have a bunch of websites. You have ADHDpartners.org. You got GinaPera.com. You got ADHDRollerCoaster.org, and then adult.
You can just Google Gina Pera and see what you know stands out for you.
And then just make that happen.
Click away.
So with that, we're gonna run to a commercial break as soon as I find the button to click for that. When we come back, we're going to touch base on spirituality. So with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
We are CHAD, the nation's leading nonprofit organization serving the community impacted by ADHD. CHAD and Attention Magazine provide science-based information about ADHD to families, professionals, the media, and the general public. Attention is the only publication in which your paid advertising promotes the mission of leadership, advocacy, research, education, and support for the ADHD community. Interested? Advertise in Attention Magazine and CHAD's website at chadd.org or call 240-487-2314.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
Train your brain with Brain Train. ADHD impacts grades, relationships, and the quality of life for your kids. Parents now have a new way to improve the lives of their ADHD child without using meds. Brain Train is designed to exercise your child's mind, to train it to work differently and efficiently. Learn how Brain Train can make a change by training your child's brain. Visit Brain Train at www.brain-train-adhd.com for more information today.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We've got Gina Pera in the house with Kirsten Milliken, my co-host, and we're having a spectacular conversation. And I can tell you right now, we got more material we're going to cover tonight. So, Gina, can you do a sequel to this at some point?
Yeah, sure. It's always fun.
The cool part about this is we probably come up with some other stuff along the way. Before the break, we were talking about singing, sports, and all that kind of stuff, but spirituality kind of came up, and this is near and dear to my heart. Can you speak to your perspective on spirituality, and I know I have a comment or two, and then I'm going to want to get Kirsten's perspective on it.
You know, I'm no expert in this. I just make a point of talking to people and asking questions and listening, and I have a ridiculous memory. So I remember years ago when my book first came out, and I was exhibiting at a conference, called Smart Marriage. And I didn't realize that I was going to be the only kind of non-religious-based person there at the exhibit, but apparently all these marriage things are all religious-based.
Uh-huh.
So I was the only one talking about the brain. And this guy came up to me, and he looked like he just had the weight of the world on his shoulders. But my exhibit looked kind of fun. I had one of my tin roller coasters, and it's kind of an intimidating subject for some people, so I try to make it a little less intimidating. So he came up, he was curious about the roller coaster, and we were talking, and he says, you know, maybe there's something to this ADD thing. You know, you're describing my dad, you're describing me. He says, but all my life I've been in the church and I just keep thinking I'm morally defective, that Jesus just doesn't love me because I can't seem to change these behaviors. You know, I do things without thinking. I'm impulsive. It gets me in trouble. And all my life I've just felt like Jesus didn't love me. I just felt so bad for the guy. I said, this has nothing to do with Jesus. I don't mean to offend anyone's religion, but, you know, we're talking about the brain. And, you know, actually, some people find that even before they learned about ADHD, their faith has actually never been. They've never questioned their faith. In fact, they say they've only felt that divine kind of love when the world was not giving it to them. So I'm not saying that unrecognized ADHD makes you feel like a sinner or an unbeliever, but it's just something to question, you know, if you do, you know, that it can affect that. And if you want to pray or read prayer books and you find that you can't make yourself read it because it's boring or because you just have reading comprehension problems, you know, it's something that can stand in the way between you and a spiritual practice, whether it's, you know, a prayer in a Christian tradition or any other tradition. It can be a roadblock.
This is near and dear to my heart. We did a show back April 23rd of 2010 at the time with Steve Gundy. He had ADD. He's now become a coach. And the title of the show was ADHD and Religion and the Impact of It. And it was powerful for me because when I had talked to him, I had expressed to him how many people that I had coached who were either synagogue or church, and they were sitting there, it came time to pray, and they noticed their mind wandering away, and they weren't praying, and they were like, they were beating themselves up with negative self-talk, whatever you want to call it, like, I'm supposed to have this close, intimate relationship with God right now, and my mind is off and wherever, and they kept trying to bring it back, but as much as they tried to bring it back, it would kind of go off, and they felt inferior as a result of it. And the cool part about the interview with Steve is he said, basically, if I recall the interview correctly, is, hey, I experienced that too, but what he realized was, to help him focus, if he journaled, in other words, imagine taking a spiral-bound notebook to church and taking notes as the guy's preaching, or when you're praying to write it down. And that enabled him to focus. Mm-hmm. And the cool part about that show is ADHD does impact religion. And I think you did a great job of saying that you read the Bible, you get distracted. But the cool part is he sat there and said, hey, listen, God loves me. I was made this way. But he figured out a way that he could actually focus. And even if it's not, maybe you're up pacing around the back of the church, or maybe your prayer is not praying and kneeling and thinking of God. Maybe yours is running a Sunday school thing where you have an open discussion, and that's your relationship. The bottom line is your relationship with God can manifest in different ways than just praying, and ADHD does not discriminate when it comes to church.
Right, but I think if you know, just knowing what it is, knowing that it's there, so you know, oh, this is not just a sign from God, you know, that I can't read this or can't do this, you know.
Which is the point of the show, is to unearth this stuff. It's not just you can't focus at work. We've covered everything. We haven't touched work yet. We got more. We have to have three shows. So, Kirsten, you have any comments on this space?
I don't. I have to say that you guys are talking more. Well, I say I don't, and then I do. I find that people with ADHD often don't feel that they fit in neatly into organized religion, and so oftentimes they'll say that they're more spiritual rather than attaching themselves to a religion. And obviously that's not a hard, fast rule, but I think that just in the people that I know more often, they're really taking to heart what the messages are in religion and just adopting them in their own ways, because that's how it works best for them, and that's how they feel like they're most comfortable.
Kirsten, you articulated that beautifully. It spurred stuff. I coached a guy one time in Israel through Skype, and it was interesting because he was Jewish on a very extreme side, which is very, 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 very disciplined. And it was just amazing to me the contrast of kind of what's kind of going on and the conflict that he had with in that particular space. And I'm not going to kind of go into a lot of detail, but and I want to move on here because we got stuff. But the bottom line is, as Gina brought up, is in the four S's, is that spirituality is there. It does manifest here, and be aware of it, and you can manage it. It's not. It's, I don't want to be careful here because I don't want to make too much comments, but just know that if you're out there and you're spiritual and you're listening to this conversation, know your ADHD can show up in those places. It's not a bad thing, and you can manage it. So,
right. Good summary.
Gina, you have another topic you want to touch on, and that's sleep. And then I want to start to share some of our callers' comments on this stuff, and then we can kind of comment on that. But talk to us about sleep.
Well, you know, it's hard to summarize really quickly, but there's a lot of people say, oh, I have trouble with sleep. Okay, but what do you have trouble with? Do you have trouble with getting everything done at the end of the day and turning off the light and getting your head on the pillow? Do you have trouble falling asleep once your head hits the pillow? Do you keep waking up? Do you go to sleep with your iPhone next on your pillow so you can, you know, see what's happening on Facebook? There's a lot of questions to ask. You know, do you find yourself waking up in the morning or, you know, having tangled yourself up in the sheets? So there's a lot of ways that ADHD can affect sleep. And if you do have trouble with getting good sleep, the important thing is to focus on why. You know, try to look at some of the details around it, not just telling your doctor, I'm having trouble sleeping, but look at some of the environmental factors, the behavioral factors. And there are neurophysiological factors, too. They're finding, researchers are finding now that actual circadian rhythm can be different with people with ADHD.
Interesting. Forgive me, I can't help with this, but we did an interview with Dr. Roberto Olivardia back in May of 2012 on this particular topic, and it was fascinating. In that interview with him, he talked about just sleep hygiene, and then he talked about the ADHD brain and some stuff like that. And yes, in fact, ADHD can have a huge impact on sleep. And Kirsten, I know a lot of, probably 50 to 60% of everybody I coach actually has sleep issues. What do you see from your perspective?
I would say probably among my clients it's even higher than that, because sleep issues is everything from, you know, almost every night not being able to either fall asleep or stay asleep or feel rested in the morning, to even having that happen a few times a week can really disrupt the other days. So, and again, it's, you know, trouble, as Gina was pointing out, it's trouble falling asleep or it's trouble getting enough sleep. And then a lot of my clients just say, you know, I think I sleep for 8 hours, but every single day I'm just so tired because they're not getting deep enough sleep. So, and it is different for everybody what, you know, what they need to pay attention to improve that.
It's interesting, Gina, because if you have, what I learned from Dr. Olivardia is that if you have ADHD and you struggle to pay attention on things that are disinteresting, and you're tired on top of it, it's like a double whammy.
Oh, it is.
Not to steal from your double or triple whammy stuff in the book, but it leverages that stuff, you know what I'm saying?
No, actually, I've gotten about 10 inquiries just this week. Gina, when is your book on sleep going to come out? And it's gotten a little postponed because I'm working on another. I've been asked to write a clinician's guide for couples therapists, so I'm working on that. But I am working on the sleep thing, too.
Wow.
But, part of it is just really focusing down on the questions. You know,
yep, absolutely.
Why am I not getting to sleep?
Absolutely.
I'll tell you what,
it's Thanksgiving is past, Christmas is coming, and I'd like to share an audio that was sent in by a listener. We solicited this on Facebook, and it's on grocery shopping, but it's kind of seasonal. So I would like to play this, and Gina, I'd like to get your reaction and Kirsten's reaction. So with that, let's listen to it.
My challenge has always been grocery shopping. It's boring. It's monotonous. You see the same food week after week. You see the same cashiers week after week. The plastic produce bags still rip in half when I pull them off the dispenser, and then I get to make this big, huge scene trying to figure out which end is up on the bag. And the grocery store, to me, is like a big sensory nightmare. The fluorescent lights always blind me. The seafood section always makes me gag. And then you have these crazy people pushing their carts all willy-nilly through the store, running into ankle bones and shin bones and everything else. And, of course, I never have my list. So without a list in a grocery store, your options are slightly overwhelming. The grocery store also takes patience. And I've been known to leave a full cart at the front of the store just because I can't wrap my brain around standing in the line, which when I do get to the line, I never have my own bags, so I feel like an eco-friendly jerk. And now on top of everything else, they're playing terrifying holiday music.
Terrifying holiday music?
Terrifying.
Which one can I be at? So, Gina, you work really closely with the support group in San Francisco. You want to comment on this? Because there's a whole lot in that whole commentary.
Yeah, there's a lot. I'd say that, you know, that's not the worst I've heard, though. I ran into one woman. She said that she gets so overwhelmed, she has to call her husband from, like, the pasta aisle to talk her down and talk her out of the store. You know what? Do you want advice? I mean, I'm sure.
No, just comment. The theme of the show is really to open awareness. Is that everybody? When you go out there and you, the typical stuff is I got ADHD. I'm not organized at work. I'm procrastinating. But wait a second, ADHD goes past this. It's showing up in the shopping.
It's at
there.
The grocery store. Yeah, because you are over and you've got all that sensory overwhelm. And if you don't go in with the list in particular, there's so many choices to make. You know, they might be better off. I visited a Soviet bloc country years ago, and the store just had, like, not just one type of potato chip, but, like, one bag of potato chips. They might have done better in that situation, although they'd get tired of there being no novelty or nothing new. But, yeah, shopping. Oh, and, man, don't go. I went into Whole Foods one time at 5 o'clock. Oh, my God. That was awful. There's kids just picked up from daycare crying and parents rushing around. A plan. You really need a plan when you're going in.
It's kind of crazy. And Kirsten, this show is a brainchild of yours, which I love this. This is my top five already. But, you know, when I'm listening to that, the overwhelming, I'm bored, there's nothing exciting here. You know, I leave my shopping cart and leave because I'm so impatient I can't wait in line. You want to share your thoughts on this?
Yeah, and I'd actually like to just talk for a second about why I did come up with the topic, which is I sit with clients every day, and so many times I'm sitting with people who sometimes they know they have ADHD, and for whatever reason they need to get, you know, a new diagnosis or they're just coming to coaching, and other people are just getting that diagnosis. But when I brought this up, I had a woman who'd known for 20 years that she had ADHD, but she didn't even really know what that meant. She knew that it meant it took her longer to take tests at school, and that was about it, and that was all she was coming to me for. And through the process of our work together, she came to know about all these other things that it had to do with, and one of the things that actually has to do with is her love of fun. When she's not in school, she's doing everything she can to try and fill her life with fun and humor and, you know, to amuse herself and also to amuse other people because that just fills her with joy. And that's a big part of her ADHD, too. So I will say, too, that the woman who sent that audio tape in is somebody that I know, and she does get overwhelmed grocery shopping, and sometimes she uses fun to get her through that process so that it's not as stressful to her.
I like the concept of fun because at some point in time you get overwhelmed. If you can make it fun, that's stimulating to get yourself through that process. Because at the end of the day, those with ADHD, I find if it's fun, if it's stimulated, they're interested, that's what guides them through it.
Exactly. And I totally sympathize with not liking the holiday music because that is one of the worst, especially when it's like elevator holiday music. That's so that will turn me right around, right back through the electronic doors and out of the store.
Yeah, and so I want to remind everybody that we did a show many, many years ago. It was one of my favorites. It launched itself as many different versions of ADHD with Dan Prewitt. If you looked at the DSM-4 manuals, there's three different categories. If you calculated every possible combination of symptoms, there's over 18,000 versions of ADHD. So while some people might say, oh, this Christmas movie drives me nuts, others would say, oh, no, not necessarily, I love it. And I'm throwing that out there because I want to be kind of clear, is that we're kind of covering the gamut. Some of you guys are going, well, I don't really get that, which is fine because it's not your version. But other than the stuff you guys might identify with. I got another excerpt I want to play here. Let's try this one.
Here's a challenge that I face, and that maybe a lot of people who aren't aware of ADHD don't realize the struggles that people face with ADHD. What I like to refer to as just trying to keep all the plates spinning and the effort required to do so. I work out of my home office, and I have a variety of projects that define what my very entrepreneurial life has become right now. And without lists, multiple alerts on my BlackBerry, and a host of other reminders, my day can come crashing down around me very quickly. Even with a lot of these things, it's still an amazing challenge sometimes to just try to stay focused and productive. I've gotten better over the years in doing this and remaining organized, but it's still a struggle, and sometimes it just, you know, it wears me out. I'll make multiple trips up and down the stairs just to try to get myself out the door in the morning, and that's with my lists and the BlackBerry alert and everything else, and it sometimes can be very, very frustrating, which then obviously can result in me getting stressed, and when I get stressed, I get angry. I end up, you know, self-medicating through anger, and you know, most of you that have ADHD are familiar with that sort of cycle. But that's just one of my issues. My name is Jim Bonner. I'm an entrepreneur, writer, and consultant, and that's a little bit of my life with ADHD.
Well, thank you very much, Jim. Kirsten, you want to make what are your thoughts on what he said?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things that Jim struggles with, of course, is the emotional aspect of ADHD, that tendency to go to that place that maybe isn't always the most productive and doesn't necessarily feel the best, but our brains are kind of wired, unfortunately, to grab on to those negative experiences and hold on tight sometimes. And that's not necessarily something that's, you know, written in the DSM-4. Is having anger problems. So I absolutely, again, can sympathize with him, because that's definitely been something that I know, you know, a lot of people have struggled with, and certainly I've had instances of those moments of anger that just feel overwhelming. So
I can't help but jump in. We did an interview with Dr. Russell Barkley in March of 2010 that talked about the impact of emotion on ADHD. And it was interesting because that show is a platform, because he really feels that emotion should be a part of the diagnostic criteria. And anger is certainly an emotion type thing. And I encourage our listeners, if you want to learn more about that, to kind of go check that out.
Can I just pipe up?
Please.
When I started poking around in this field 12 years ago, and I started observing that from talking to a lot of people, and you know what almost everybody told me? They said, Gina, that's bipolar.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So alleged
experts,
oh, no, people with ADHD are fun and in the moment. They might lose their temper, but they're, you know, they're good natured. What? You know, because I was seeing a lot of it. So I'm going to go on
mood
record.
Swings.
One of the first experts to actually talk about this.
Yep. So I know exactly what you're talking about, Gina. How many people I've interviewed who said, "Oh yeah, I have bipolar disorder," and even experts are fooled sometimes.
Oh, I know. And I get emailed. You know, they've been treated for bipolar for 20 years, and then they find their anger still hasn't gone away, even with the, you know, the bipolar medication.
Wow.
So
yeah.
And you know, another reason I don't like to talk about anger, but in my presentations I show some pretty funny cartoons. It's because I want people to realize this can be a symptom, that it's not a moral failing, because, man, people that are rageaholics, I mean, you can get shame about that really fast, and it can be a big burden. So I kind of like to talk about it a lot to get it out in the open that, yeah, this could be a symptom, and yeah, it can be treatable too.
I'm so happy you brought that up. I can't tell you, I've coached a number of people who, it's interesting, they describe it to me as they get an emotion, and then they react to the motion. In other words, they throw gasoline on the fire, and it just starts to escalate, and it's kind of weird because they notice it's happening, but they can't kind of necessarily kind of control it. And
great.
I do think ADHD really impacts us, and that's one of the reasons why we did the interview with Dr. Barkley, is he's like, no, this is very much a part of ADHD. It's a part of self-regulation, and we can't ignore it, and it was powerful. And I encourage, if you can identify with this out there, it was one of my more favorite interviews, and again, it was March back in 2010. I'm a little pressed for time, but there's one other thing that I want to kind of comment on this last thing is I took my MBA, and they talked about just-in-time inventory, and the notion of that is that in business, you want to keep your inventory down because it costs a lot of money to do that, and you want to bring everything together and build it as it's kind of going out the store. And what I was interesting in listening to Jim's comments is all the alarms and all this kind of stuff, it's all just in time, like in the moment. It's like I react to everything, so I've got to build in those prompts for me to tell me when to react, because I find many with ADHD are not proactive, they're very reactive. And what's cool is when you realize that you're reactive, you can build those prompts in for you to react at the time that you need it. And the complexity that he's building was interesting to me, and I just want to share that stuff because many with ADHD can be very, very reactive, and they need just-in-time prompts at the right time to kind of take them into whatever they need to do. So,
right. Dr. Barkley calls it point of performance.
Well, yes, he does. Again, we go to another commercial break. I think last break we said basically go Google Gina Pera. Pick out the website.
Oh, maybe I should go check first. Maybe there's some not very nice things about me.
There's some good stuff out there. So do that. And most of our websites, there's a contact button where they hit and they can actually email you, right?
Yes.
All right. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
We are CHAD, the nation's leading nonprofit organization serving the community impacted by ADHD. CHAD and Attention Magazine provide science-based information about ADHD to families, professionals, the media, and the general public. Attention is the only publication in which your paid advertising promotes the mission of leadership, advocacy, research, education, and support for the ADHD community. Interested? Advertise in Attention Magazine and CHAD's website at chadd.org or call 240-487-2314.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We're having this is already catapulted in one of my favorite shows. This is really cool because we're talking about how ADHD manifests itself in the world that are not necessarily what you would think at work or at school. Gina shared some great insights on her air. We've listened to some listeners, and I want to jump into, because we have a few more left, and then got a lot of other stuff we got to stuff into the show. So with that, let's just listen to Ryan here.
What I really appreciate about my ADHD is that it allows me to be very creative on a variety of fronts. This is a strength when you're working by yourself and a deficit when you're working with other people. I have needed to bridge the gap between being organized and creative to achieve my best.
That's an interesting concept to me, is that creativity is a strength on your own, but around other people, it gets muzzled a little bit and can be a little bit of a challenging. Kirsten, you want to comment? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I know that one of the things that he may be talking about is that sometimes his thoughts may be a little far out there, or sometimes, you know, when you're creative, you're coming up with a lot of different ideas, and not everybody grasps where you're going, or they're different than what they expected. especially if you're working in a corporate environment, that can be a little scary to people.
Yep.
But working on your own, if you're an entrepreneur, obviously creativity can be a really positive thing. I have to think sometimes it's not if you don't know how to filter. But, you know, people with ADHD are coming up with these ideas that are just fabulous. And quite frankly, I think we're going to rule the world at some point because of it.
Can I just pipe in on that?
Yeah.
I would just
like to say that
all of humans are creative. ADHD people do not have the lock on being creative. I hate to tell you that, but they don't. Humans are creative.
Go ahead.
You know, and this idea, I just think it's a little tricky sometimes because people think, oh, I'm creative, and if I get treatment, I'm not going to be creative anymore. And I just think it sets up this whole linear, one up, one down thing with ADHD people and, quote, the rest of the world, that all humans are creative. It's not people with ADHD that are creative and the rest of the world are boring muggles that are there to carry their bags. I'm not talking about you. I'm just in general. You know, I had a really interesting
people
guy.
People with ADHD, they're more willing to go outside the box.
Not always.
But they're often thinking about things a little bit differently
sometimes
than other people do. And not all the time. It's not a blanket statement. I mean, everybody is capable. But oftentimes, either because of impulsivity or just because it's part of their personality, that people with ADHD are willing to take those risks
and put those
ideas out there, maybe a little bit more.
I want to jump in here because what I'm listening to both of you, and I get what you're both saying, but he's kind of putting in context of work. So, Gina, I want to ask you a question, okay?
Well, I would just want to ask him a question. I would just say, what do you mean creative? What do you mean by creative?
Yeah.
Let's define that.
I got a question for you, and I like it. What days start with the letter T?
What days?
What days start with the letter T?
Tuesday and Thursday. What am I missing here?
Okay, so I get what you're saying, and my issue is that most people would infer we're talking about the days of the week, which I didn't say that. I said what days start with the letter T, right? In a corporate environment, sometimes everybody will jump to the conclusion, oh, he's talking about the days of the week, because I'd say today and tomorrow, which would be a different answer because I'm paying attention to something differently. And so,
well, I'm an editor. I'm going to think days of the week. But, you know, there's this one guy at our meeting. He was diagnosed a couple of years ago, and he kind of blew it off. He thought it meant he was more creative, blah, blah, blah. And so he was in a good job. And he thought he was kind of the star because he was so creative, ADD. Well, until he got fired. And now he cannot get rehired. He doesn't have any money. And he's now able to look back and go, you know what? That team did a lot for me, you know, to make me think I was doing, you know, so great. And now he can look back and he goes, you know, my boss did a lot for me. He did a lot, but he had it in his head that he was all that by himself, you know, kind of like this political thing going around,
yep.
You know, nobody helped you build that.
Yep.
There's a lot of people contributing to a lot of this creativity, and, you know, he's learned now that he needs to be a little more grateful to people who do help him and help him succeed and work with him.
Well, it's interesting because this is a whole other show on that side of it. But what's interesting to me is that when I heard him say is like that, whether it's pressure or whatever, there's a little bit of him working on his own that kind of pulls that stuff out that's advantageous for him. So I apologize. I got one more clip that I want to play. I want to listen to this, and then because there's a few other things I want to get in. So with that, let's listen to Sarah here real quick.
Hi. ADD likes. And Dislikes by Sarah Cusack, the one and only. Okay, dislikes. Start off negative, go positive. That's how I believe. All right, negatives. I'm messy as hell. I hate it. I'm unorganized. It's really hard to be organized because I start in one area, but then I look over here and the other area is unorganized, so then I skip to that and don't finish organizing the first area. Oh, it drives me nutty. Something else that ADD, sometimes, you know, I listen to people and I can regurgitate some information, But unless I find it interesting 95% of the time, I'm going to forget about it. Because if it's not interesting me, my brain's going somewhere else. And then I look kind of like a jerk when people are like, oh, remember that time I told you this? And I'm like, nope, have no idea what you're talking about. And they're like, I just told you it the other day. Yeah, not the best trait for ADHD. Something I love about myself is that I always have an activity, whether it's, you know, let's go hiking, we can go to the beach. I always have a million and one things that I can choose to do because I always have so much going on in my head, and that's what I love. I love that I can have a conversation with anyone and find a common ground with them just because I can talk to anyone. I love the fact that I'm a really wicked good at multitasking to the point where, you know, it makes me a stronger worker. It makes me like a really good person. I can do a million things at once and still have an idea of what's going on. That's another thing that I like is I always know something I need to do next. But in the same sense, sometimes I forget to do things unless something triggers my head to do it, if that makes any sense. Like triggers, you know, if I see a sign, oh yeah, I have to, you know, I have to go to the store and get bread, whatever it is. Something else that I love, as weird as this sounds, I think that ADD or ADHD makes me who I am. It gives me a personality and, you know, I'm proud of that. So I love that about my ADHD. And as weird as it sounds, not that I'm boasting by any means, and that's not what I'm trying to say, but I think having ADD makes me a little bit of a smarter person because I can, you know, figure out different ways to do things that other people can't because my brain is constantly going. I hope this is what you guys are looking for. Hopefully I'm still your favorite product child of ADHD. And let me know if this works, and if it doesn't, let's try something else. All right, guys, take care.
Well, that was interesting to me because I'm hearing that ADHD shows up in her conversations and what she can remember and not remember. It impacts everything she does. She clearly kind of stays busy. It impacts her memory and some of the personal stuff. That's what jumps out with me in that particular one. Gina, you want to comment?
Yeah, I hear some of these things from people with ADHD, but, you know, I hear just the opposite just as often.
Uh-huh.
You know, people who are slower to get things and,
uh-huh,
you know, don't think outside the box. And if we're talking about how ADHD affects you in surprising ways, I would just like to mention that some people, they hear all this glowing stuff, oh, I'm smarter than everybody, I'm more creative and blah, 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 and they think, oh, I'm not that way, so I must not have ADHD. And so we lose a lot of people that way. They think, I'm just dumb. I'm just whatever. I'm just slow. And these people can also be, you know, creative and productive and whatever if their ADHD is identified and treated. So I'm just always mindful to be a little careful with the stereotypes, especially the rosy ones.
Yep.
And the self-congratulatory ones, because they often leave out other aspects of ADHD, such as a good many people in prison and people unemployed, underemployed.
Gina brings up a good point, and it's something that we bring up quite often, which is, you know, there's 18,732 different ways that ADHD symptoms can be combined, and there are people who have that fast processing speed, and there are people who have very slow and painful processing speed, and they both fit under the heading of ADHD, and they can present very differently. And it would take us, you know, years to hit on every single way that ADHD can present in a person. But tonight we were hoping to just, you know, get some people to talk about how it affects them, whether it's because they feel like they do move faster than other people and are on top of things and are good at, you know, engaging people. Or if it has to do with getting lost in their own thoughts because they're just not finding what's in front of them interesting, or, you know, they struggle because everybody else is moving at a fast pace and they're going so slow. And I had that guy in my office today. But it would take us years to cover all those topics. So I have to say, Sarah is a dear, dear friend of mine, and I get teary every time I hear that play because she played it. She sent it to me, and I listened to it. Because to hear her say that she values the fact that she has ADHD now is not where she started from, you know, when I knew her. So I think that's huge to hear anybody recognize that there is some value. It's not just a struggle, but some of those aspects that come with ADHD sometimes can really be a bright part of our lives.
I can't help but comment, a little over a year ago at the CHAD conference in Orlando, Ned Hollowell and Dr. Barkley got up on stage and they talked about it. And I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail. One's a researcher and one's a clinician. And they talked about ADHD in an interesting context. And as Dr. Barkley said, ADHD is not a gift you'd wrap up and send somebody for Christmas. And we got to be careful not to walk out and say it's a gift to the world, because there's hard fought legislation that's done to be able to help these things. But at the same time, Dr. Hollowell got up there and said, you know, in the clinical stuff, it's really about hope. These people really need to have a lot of hope. And the cool part about ADHD is when you get the diagnosis, there's a lot that can be done.
And that's my message too, but I don't tell them to celebrate their ADHD. I say to find what you're good at, what you are good at, and what you can improve.
Yes.
Because I just find people get lost in the carrying the ADD pride flag sometimes, and they don't think they can go further in improving their lives. And that's my only concern.
And I'm bringing that up to put it into context, because there's the yin and the yang here. Here's the stuff. Like I said, I love that you're not going to wrap this up and send it to somebody for Christmas, but at the same time, there's some hope. And the cool part about ADHD is there's so much that can be done. The other thing is, I want to just kind of touch base. The whole spirit of this particular show was to say, hey, listen, when you read the books, they talks about, you know, schools and tests and stuff, and we have covered so much that ADHD hits, and we haven't even talked about, like, we had an interview with Dr. Ari Tuckman, how it impacts relationships. We did a show before even Kirsten was a co-host on dating, going from wow to bored to gone, and how ADHD impacts the, you know, dating. You know, separately, I know Gene and I have been in some committees talking about the impact of ADHD and smoking and substance abuse, taxes, impact on siblings, impact on college transitions. The point of tonight was to really open your mind and say it's not just about what you're doing at work. It's just not about school and taking a test. ADHD covers the gamut across your lives, and we've covered a very small subset of what's there. And literally, I probably have 15. Casey Turk, burning her hair on fire, taking a bath, it's showing up there. We did a show with her back April. And so the idea here is if you have ADHD, notice it's impacting your life kind of across the board, and you can manage this. So need to wrap this up. Gina, you have any kind of final closing comments and stuff that you'd like to share?
No, I mean, that's my point, too. It's just being honest with people and giving them the best strategies possible. And, you know, I'm just leery of some people who just have a lot of happy stories and tell people to be proudful of things that, you know, might actually be holding them back. I'd rather be honest and give people strategies that work and help them optimize medication, help them optimize other strategies. That's all I'm saying.
Excellent. Kirsten, any last comments?
I want to thank all the people who sent in their audio.
Well put.
For us. You know, this was a great opportunity to have some of our listeners contribute to the show, and I think we got some great feedback from them, and I appreciate it. I also want to thank the people that maybe we didn't get their audio on, and maybe we'll use it in the future, but I think it really added some value to this show, because it's not just coming from us and the experts that we have on and Gina, but also just from, you know, people who are listening. So I want to thank them.
Yeah, it was a great job. Great addition.
Gina, you said something a second ago that I couldn't agree with you more about. Let's not be overly rosy, but at the same time, at the last CHAD conference in Sydney, which, by the way, I got to give a plug, you did a great job for the gala celebration.
Thanks.
But Mark Katz got up there, and his presentation was entitled, "There's Nothing So Wrong With Us That What's Right With Us Can't Overcome." And it was interesting. It was a very inspirational thing to me, because as challenging as some of this stuff is, if you focus on what works for you, therein lies help and move out. And I want to share it because it was very powerful. I loved the title of it, and it was actually kind of an interesting presentation. If you kind of actually follow my coaching page, I've got a lot of quotes.
Oh, Mark is a great guy. Mark is an absolute gem. No, it was great.
It's spectacular. So with that, Gina, thank you so much for coming on the show. You were the perfect
Thanks,
guest.
Thanks, Jeff and Kirsten.
Perfect time. And for our listeners, again, just go Google Gina Pera, and you'll get several websites. Pick the one that speaks to you and go from there, all right? So with that, Gina, thanks again for coming on the show. Kirsten, as always, we'll catch you next week, all right?
Yeah, have a good night.
Take care.
Good night.